Perek Lamed Aleph towards the end. We are up to Pasuk. We are up to Pasuk Lamed Vav. Lamed Vav is a continuation of Pasuk Lamed Hey. So let me repeat Lamed Hey. Mi Yiten Li Shemeh Li. Iyav is asking for a man. According to the Mitzvah, there are two different possibilities that he is hoping for in Pasuk Lamed Hey. Mi Yiten Li Shemeh Li. If only there can be a person that will listen to me, and the person that will listen to me will according to the Mitzudos, will assist in presenting Hen Tovi Shakayaneni, will assist in presenting my complaint before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that my desire, Tovi meant, according to we'll learn now for the moment, as we learned yesterday according to the Mitzudos, that the desire, my desire to have a day in court with HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come true. Hence, so that Tovi, my desire, that Shaka Ya'aneini, Hashem will answer me, will answer my complaint as to why He brought upon me this horrible situation. Or, now we have to have like a hard break in the middle of the pasuk, according to the Mitzudos, or Halavai, I could have a Sefer Kosav Ish Rivi, or Halavai, a person would write down all of the complaints that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has against me, and present it for and preserve it for all time, for all generations, until the end of days. And people will always be able to look at what's written in this document, all of the complaints Hashem has against me, and see what Hashem has done to me, and reach their own conclusion as to who is right and who is wrong, if I have been punished justly or unjustly. Let's read the Mitzvot again, Pasuk Lamed. It's a hard Pasuk, but it's important because we need to understand this Pasuk in order to understand Pasuk Lamed Vav. Lamed Hei in the Mitzvot David. Mi yiten li ish. Okay, if only the Mitzudos is adding the word ish into the pasuk. It's interesting. Normally, when you repeat words in a pasuk, you repeat words that appear in the beginning of the pasuk. You make believe they appear at the end of the pasuk. That's extremely common. Right? It says the pasuk begins with an expression, and we repeat that expression a second time at the end of the pasuk, even though it's invisible. Here, it seems that we're doing something very different. We're repeating a word that appears at the end of the pasuk, and we're putting it in the beginning of the pasuk. This is a different, very, very different approach, different way of looking at the pasuk. Because the end of the pasuk it says, "V'sefer kosav ish rivi." If only it can be written a book by a person. There's an ish. We'll put in writing the complaints Hashem has against me. Seemingly, what the Mitzudos is doing is taking the word ish that appears in the pasuk and he's repeating it in the beginning of the pasuk, and that's why he says mi yiten li ish. If only I can be granted a person asha yishma elai, will listen to me. What will this person do? Lemalos tishukasi, that will fulfill my desire. Kihein ta'avosi, what is my desire? Is my desire asher shakai ya'aneli, Hashem will answer me, will respond to me, will speak up. I can't take the silence. The silence is deafening. Loi ma'ma pishi, what have I done wrong? To explain to me why I deserve to suffer. So I need a person to help me accomplish this goal. Hashem on his own is not willing to respond, is not willing to express himself. I need a person to open up a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a person that has a relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu that will succeed in getting Kadosh Baruch Hu to explain to me why he's torturing me. Chumash HaKosav L'mal, like we had this idea many times, Adaber V'Hashiveni Halavai, I would speak up and Hashem would answer, would reply to me. Kamali Avonis, and Hashem would reply, what have I done wrong? Oh, then we come to the second half of the pasuk, a new theme, a new idea. Oh, she'ish rivi, the man that is quarreling with me. Now, seemingly, we explained this yesterday. I assume this refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's calling HaKadosh Baruch Hu an ish, but not necessarily. Ish means here a person, Hashem's representative. Halavai, Hashem's representative, a human being who is an ish, will put in writing all of Hashem's complaints against me. Oh, she'ish rivi. The person that is quarreling with me, yichtoif b'sefer, will write in a book called Divrei Vichucho. will write in a book all of Hashem's complaints against me, and the purpose of doing this, of having it preserved in a book, will be Laman Yamdu Yamim Rabim, it will be preserved for posterity, the Yivchanu Dor Acharon, Hadin Imi, and let people make a judgment for themselves. It'll be in a museum, it'll be online, everyone can read what Hashem did, what Hashem's complaint is against me, the dispute, and everyone can see what Hashem has done to me, and we'll see who's right. We had also this theme was expressed in previous parakim. If only my words can be the Hashem's words will be etched in a book. Okay, now reason why that was so important to explain that these two different types of people that will assist in different ways of getting a Kadosh Baruch Hu to respond. Then Pasuk Lamed Vav now reads, Imlo, if this would happen, Imlo means if only, Al Shechni Esoenu, I would lift up this person on my shoulder. I would give this person such honor, such kavod, for accomplishing the impossible, to getting a Kadosh Baruch Hu to speak up and explain to me why this happens. I'll carry this person on my shoulder, and denu, I will tie him. The word "and denu" means to tie. If you look quickly in the Mitzudos Tzion, he translates the word "and denu" inyan aniva ukeshira, a bow and a knot, v'chein anodim al garugirosecha. A chain, anadim means a chain or necklace, al gar giroi secha, on your neck. So it means I would tie this person upon my shoulder, ataros, that I will tie him as a crown for me. I will give this person the greatest honor in the world for accomplishing this impossible task, mission of getting a Kadosh Baruch Hu to speak up, or getting a Kadosh Baruch Hu to present in writing what his complaint is against me. Let's take a look again in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Vav Imlo in Emser. What?
If so.
Imlo means let. Imlo means if only. It's an expression of frustration. I know that it's not going to happen, but if Imlo, if it won't happen, then such and such would happen to me. It's a. You're right. It's a very hard. It's a shavua, right? Look at Lamed Vav in the Mitzvot Sion. Imlo, who inyan shavua. Imlo means if this does not happen, then I should be cursed. Meaning, I don't want it to. I want it to happen. It's an expression of I wish this would happen, because if it does not happen, then I'm willing to accept upon myself terrible things. Look at the Mitzvah Sion, the words Imlo. Yeah,
in a positive way.
It's an expression. This is it's very common in these poetic expressions to write like this. We have this all over in Eiv, and we have in Yeshaya and Nevi'im Acharonim. It's very, very common. Look at the words the Mitzvah Sion. Imlo hu inyan shavua. It's an oath. Kimo imlo shivisi v'demanti. If I am not silent. Okay, but the deer is also being used as a shul. But the deer is I. If this does not happen, then I accept upon myself terrible things. Meaning, I don't want the terrible things to happen. I want it to be in the positive. Okay, let's look at the Mitzudos Stav. Maybe it'll become clear. Imlo. Im emtsa, if I find ish, asher yamali tishukasi, I find a person that will fulfill my desire, the way we had in Pasuk Lamed Hey, my tavi. Tavi means my taiva, as the Mitzudas translated there means taiva with an after an aleph. My desire, yamali tishukasi, the achas mishte ele, one of these two possibilities, either to get a person to come forward and be able to convince Hashem to speak up and explain why he has punished me, or to find a person that will put in writing Hashem's complaint against me. Be'achas mishtei ela, hine be'emes, this in truth, ese oso, I would carry this person, al shichmi, on my shoulder. V'lo yihye alai lamasa, it wouldn't be a burden, it would be the greatest honor for me to carry this person around, parade him in the street. Ve'ekshar oso al roshi, I'll take this person, I'll tie him on my head. Lios li la'atoros, to be as a crown. Ki me'od echve venu, Ve'espoherbo, Lashon Chavivus, I would cherish him and I would take glory in this person for accomplishing such a great, great task. Okay, and imlo means, it's an expression, if only. Imlo means, if only it can be this thing would come true, then, you have to add the word then. Imlo, if only it would be then, al shikhmi esuenu and denu atarosli. Okay, Rashi, let's see Rashi, pasuk lamed vav. Rashi, Lamadvav esenu lichtoiv es sifri. Rashi seems to be saying something a little bit different. Rashi is saying, not that I'm going to lift the person. According to the Mitsudos, when it says here that I'm going to lift the person, I'm going to take this person who has accomplished this great task, and I'm going to carry him. Rashi says, esenu, I will lift him up, lichtoiv es sifri. Lift it up. Lichtoiv to write as sifri. I really don't know what it means. I don't know what Rashi means over here. I will bear it. Lichtoiv to write as sifri. Well, let's see the next words. And danu aksharenu l'sefer atarosi. I will tie the book as a crown for me. Now, Rav Schwab really elaborates upon these words of Rashi on the second half of Rashi. At least the first half, I don't have clarity. But the second half of Rashi, Rav Schwab has a different translation. He says he's going on the second half of the previous pasuk. On the second half of the previous pasuk, if the person will only write in a book Hashem's complaint against me, I am certain they wouldn't find one bad thing. It's not possible Hashem would find one defect, and therefore I would take this book, which is a record of my life. It's a record of all of my good deeds and my mitzvos. I would wear this book as a crown on my head. Not the person that wrote the book, rather the book itself would be my tefillin. Yeah.
When a person goes on trial, charges. Those are the charges against the church. So, I'm saying, as he has said previously, said I want to know what the charges are against me so that I can have my day in court.
Okay, exactly. Okay.
Yes.
Taking God to court.
Okay, so here it's interesting. This also, you know, it reminds us, like I mentioned, of tefillin. What is tefillin? Tefillin is a collection of books. I mean, you have the four parashios. It's a sefer. It's a sefer that's been tied as an ornament on my head. So it's very interesting over here. He's describing this would be my tefillin, the record of my life. When I wear the tefillin on my head, what would be my tefillin? He's talking about Eev. Eev, is he Jewish? Is he not Jewish? That's a very big debate. But Eev over here is basically describing an idea. It opens up a little insight into the concept of the mitzvah of tefillin. And he's saying, what is the tefillin? The tefillin is my jewelry. Because in the tefillin, it is a record of all of my good deeds, everything good that I have done. In loy, if only I'll shik me as, and I'll carry it on my shoulder. Maybe that's the rest of the tefillah shel yad. Tefillah shel yad is also on the lower portion on the shoulder, right? That's the shoulder, the shikma. And then atarosli, it would be my crown. That's the tefillah shel rosh. And what's there instead of it saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? Well, maybe you will say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We'll say all of my mitzvos. They say you go to a mokubal. I don't have any faith that anyone today is capable of doing such a thing like this. But there is a tradition that if you go to a mokubal and you show them your mezuzos or you show them your tefillin, they can tell you your whole life. They can see in your mezuzahs and your tefillin your whole life. How could that possibly be? That's what a mekubal does. There's a special gift, koyach, in looking how the letters are laid out on the parchment and seeing your deepest secrets. So he's saying here, in my tefillin shel yad, my tefillin shel rosh, halavai will go to a mekubal, and he'll present all of my good deeds, and they will discover I've not done any averos. Okay, let's look at the next pasuk. Pasuk lamed zayin. What would I do? Now he continues to describe what he would tell this person. Mispar tzeodai agidenu. I would present my steps, the number of steps to this person. I know this person, I would present himself, I would assist, bring my case before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have nothing to hold back. There's nothing for me to be ashamed of. Again, these are his final words. We're coming down to the very end, the last words of Eve in the Sefer Kamat, except for the very, very, very end. But he's basically reiterating his thesis is that I have not done anything wrong. I have nothing to be ashamed about. I will reveal the number of my strides, agidenu, kemo nagid akor venu. I would bring this person close to me like a prince. I would not be afraid if a person is normally afraid of a prosecutor. You don't want to get too close. If a person is audited by the IRS, you don't want him to stick around too long. The faster you get him out of the house, the better. The less he sees, the better. The more he looks, the more he's going to find. I'm not afraid of the auditor, the IRS, because don't they sit down and make yourself comfortable? You can stay here for weeks. It's a hotel. You can check every single thing that I have in my house. You're a prince, because I have nothing to hide. I truly have nothing to hide. Not just words. Come on, nagid akor venu. Let's look at the Lamed Zayin and Mitzvah Stavit. Mispar agiloi, mispar pesi osai. I would reveal to him the number of my steps. The secrets of my heart. I would bring him close to me. Like one brings close a prince. I have nothing to hide. Pasuk Lamed Zayin in Rashi. Agidenu loisoish, this person that would come forward and would present in writing Hashem's complaint against me, gozunte hate, look over my life, try to find something wrong. Next pas, pasuk lamed ches im. Now he describes his assets. Im olai admosi tizok, if my land. You have to read the pasuk lamed ches with the last pasuk, so we'll read them all together. Imolai admosi tizak, if my land could speak, if we would give human characteristics to the earth, my home, my palace, and my land would be able to speak up and would say that there is gezel. This piece of property was acquired through theft. There was exploitation done in building this house. Terrible things went into cultivating this piece of earth. If that would be possible, and it would be true, the earth would scream out and would say, upon me, against me, Mala means against me, admosi my earth, Tizak would cry out and declare, there have been crimes committed in order to achieve this, to accomplish this, to cultivate this land, and the Yachad Tilamecha Yivkoyun, together, all of the beautiful furrows of the earth, land, field, you plant grain, wheat, or barley, whatever it is, it's planted in rows. If the furrows would together in unison would cry out and say, there has been injustice. This land has been acquired with illegal funds. The workers were exploited when they plowed, when they worked. Im kochad pasuk lamites. Im kochad chalti v'li chesef. If it, the kochad means its strength. If it, the produce of the earth is called its power. I have consumed v'li chesef without paying for it. V'nefesh be'olecha hifachti. Or I weakened. I made sad. What hifachti means? Hifachti means to make sad. The neshama of the owners I have saddened, meaning that the people who once upon a time owned this land are sad because I stole it from them. I caused their neshama sadness. Then I accept upon myself a curse. What curse? Tachas chita. Instead of the earth producing wheat, yetzei choach, it should bring forth thorns. V'sachas se'oira, and instead of bringing forth barley, v'vosha, it should bring forth, it's another word which means thorns. Okay, Rashi says, it's a certain type of thorn. Look what the Mitzudos Sion. Doimihi l'se'oira, ugeru mimena, it looks like a piece of barley, but it's not. It's worse. Chemayas be'ushim, shimin doime la'anovim, ugeru mehem, there it's also used in reference to grapes. It means like thorns which come in place of barley. That's the curse I accept upon myself. And then come these last three mysterious words. Tamu divrei iyov. I rest my case. Your Honor, I rest my case. This is the end of iyov. We can make a siyum. Even though we only have the Perek Lamed Beis, there are 10 more prakim to go. But this is where iyov concludes his arguments. Now let's take a look at these three psukim in the Mesudos David. Psalm of Pasik Lamed Ches. Lamed Ches, Im Olai, Chozar L'dvorav HaRishonim. Eve now is going back to his opening words. V'omar, and he says, I have not committed any crime, not personally, not with regard to my machshava, not with regard to anything, any possible sin a man could do, I have not done. And he says, my property has all been acquired legally. Im admas sodai, if the earth of my field, tizak olai, would cry out, lahoit, to testify, shehi etzli begezel, that it has been acquired through theft, v'im tilameha, and if the furrows of the earth, kulam yachad yivkoyun, would all cry together, lehisoinin, to complain, al shekovush tachas yodi schara poyalim, that I have oppressed, I have withheld the wages of the workers who have plowed and cultivated the land. Oiv the adama, the poyalim, oiv the adama, who in melita, this is an expression, they would cry that I have oppressed them. Im pasik lamet ches, im koicha, explaining, if I have eaten the power of the field, meaning the produce of the field, without paying for it. He's repeating himself in many words. To the people that work the land, if I have saddened, nefesh be'olecho harishonim, the original owners. How did I acquire this piece of land? La'ashok sadeu mibli kesef shivo, to extort the land without paying its purchase price. Then I accept upon myself a curse. What is the curse? That instead of the land, thus that to instead of the land producing wheat, it should produce thorns. Instead of producing barley, it should produce a different type of thorn. Tachaschito azai yegmul oinish. It would be fitting that my punishment be shemukoyim hachito hazerua yetsi choach. Instead of wheat, shall come forth this thorn called choach. Or the mukoyim hasoira titzmach bosha, another type of thorn. Then he concludes, Tamu divrei Iyov. What do these words mean? Gam ele divrei Iyov sheomar. These also are the words of Iyov. Iyov said these words. In other words, who is the one who's saying these words? Before we read the rest of the mitzvahs, I'll tell you the different choices, different possibilities. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu. Who's the author of Sefer Iyov? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, who we have a tradition, is the author of Sefer Iyov. So he now, Moshe, is injecting Tamu Divrei Iyov. Everything that I've told you until now are the words of Iyov. Or maybe Iyov himself said these words. Iyov is saying these words. So the Mesudas is taking sides and he says, Gamela Divra Iyov. Iyov himself is saying these words. Iyov said, I rest my case. That's all I got to say. Sha'amar, Nishlamu Amorai. My words are complete. Veloy Adabra Odmeata. Iyov says, I have nothing more to say. He means, I have already expressed a correctness of my ways, and I have also expressed the pain, the tsar, that Hashem has brought upon me. After 70 years of a wonderful life of success, and I have nothing more to say, nothing more to respond, nothing more to express.
Nobody else
to respond. There's no one that is. There's no one to me that's responding al devarai. There's no one that's giving me an explanation of why this has happened to me. There's no one that's giving me an explanation. Okay. And what more is there to say? I have nothing more to say. I rest my case. I have done nothing wrong. I suffer. And no one here has provided me a satisfactory explanation. And therefore, there's nothing more to say. I'm going to keep my mouth shut from Mikan Ulahaba. What is the summary? What is the summary from these words of this parak? First, he describes in very great detail. We go back a couple of prakim. This goes back 3-4 prakim before, where he contrasted his life in the good old days. He described in very great detail. The honor. I think the main theme of that parak, when he described this one entire parak describing his success, the great honor he received. Marbis gedulasai Ugoidil Hatzlochasa Shayla Meoz, the great success he had in the good old days, Vikishra Masov, and his the correctness of his deeds, Asher Bavuram Boloy Hagudulov Yakavod, and because of the good deeds, and in reward for the good deeds that he has done in his good old days, he received the great, the gedula and the kavod. And then he went on to describe in the next parak the eich nepach hadavar min hakotze lakotze, how the tables were turned, and he lost all of his success, and he suffered ki af hatz to the degree ki af hatz irim. Even the lowest of the low did not hold back from despising him and disgracing him. He also described how he tolerated extreme pain. Not because he did any aveira. That was his thesis. I have not done an aveira, and yet look what has happened to me. He was extremely careful not to do an aveira for which he would be deserving of punishment. The yarber l'saper marbis tzidkaso, the yosher hanhagaso, and he increases to describe in detail his good deeds. His good deeds and the yosher hanagoso, the yishpoit alatzmai gemul oynish im chata bedavar ma, and he analyzes his life to determine if he is deserving of such punishment. He comes to the conclusion that he does not deserve punishment. He has not done anything wrong. So basically, the summary, just to review outside, is that in the last Yerushalayim, what he has done is he has contrasted his life in the good old days, his first 70 years, versus what he suffers now. And the way it's interesting that the Mesuda says is that the greatest pain is bezionos. Okay, you would think that tsar is physical pain. He doesn't focus on that. He focuses on the bezionos, and the bezionos are described in terms of the fact that the children, even tzeirim, people who come from families of ill repute, despise him, and he has not done an avera, and it's not fair for him to suffer. Okay, now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says some different things. Pasuk Lamed Ches, im olai ad mosi tizak. So Rashi right away injects some midrashim. Rashi says, what does it mean? Why would the land cry out? Let's take a step back. The Mitzudas told us the reason why the land would cry if it could speak. Well, the Mitzudas said it was because it was acquired with illegal funds, or it was stolen. I stole the property. I did not legally acquire this land. The workers who worked the land were not paid. They were crimes committed in its acquisition and its cultivation. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says the crimes are, I did not give leket, shikha, and peya. I did not do the mitzvos that are tluyos baretz. A leket, shikha, peya, umasros, shaloi, hitzesi, masros, karoi. I did not give maestros. That's what the earth is going to cry. Let the earth speak up. This week's parasha, Vayiftach Hashem es piho osoin. Hashem should give a mouth to the earth and let the earth speak up and say that, to declare if I've given leket shechem pein provided meiser. V'yachad tilomecha yivkoyun, and let the furrows of the land cry if I have committed an injustice. What's the injustice according to Rashi? Not exploiting the workers, but rather shechorashti b'shor v'chamar yachtov. If I didn't have klein, the animals they pull the plow together. Pasuk Lamites, Beli Chesef, Liskar Sechidim Ulashakam. This is the same as the Mitzudos. If I hired workers and I did not pay them, I oppressed them. Dover Acher, another interpretation. Rashi goes back to the Medrash. Zeh Meiser Sheni. Okay, besides giving Meiser Rishon, the first Pasuk, here now he says Meiser Sheni. The Sivit says Vitzarta. Why would it be called Meiser Sheni? Because here it says the word Kesef, and the word Kesef is used in reference to Meiser Sheni. Vitzarta HaKesef Biyodecha. Person came carry the Meiser Sheni to Yerushalayim so he can exchange it for cash, for coins, and they can bind the coins and bring up the coins to Yerushalayim. The Nefesh Be'oleha, Oris Ho'eved Ba. What? Well, you're talking about Eve. When did Eve live? We're asking a question that Eve lived before the Zman, the Beis HaMikdash, according to most opinions. So what is it referring to? In Echlami, so it's a Medrash. He doesn't mean over here, it means this is a possibility which we can apply to ourselves. That it's basically saying that we, in our day and age, after this, the Beis Hamikdash can say that if we indeed have not given the mitzvos, we should accept upon ourselves this curse. If we have not given leket, shichan, peah, ma'aser rishon, truma, and ma'aser sheni, then we should be cursed that the earth should not produce grain, instead it should produce thorns. In Echnam, it's a medrash. It's not to be taken literally, because Eev, according to most similar interpretation, did not live during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and even if he did, he was not Jewish, according to most opinions, and therefore in Echnam, this would not make sense according to Eev. But if we're using it's more of a medrash, how it would apply to us. For nefesh be'olecha, the aureus of it, buff, I've exploited the soul of the sharecropper, then I accept the curse. What's the curse? Instead of wheat, there should be chayach. Instead of barley, shall be bosha. What is bosha? Rashi says, dover mavish, something foul. In other words, it should not produce grain. Kemo bu'ushim, and Yeshai, which refers to sour grapes. The imlo yosisi cane, so he explains, tachat schita yetzichach, and if I have not done so, instead of wheat shall come forth chayach. Now we have here a braisa. Tanya, Rabbi Yeshai, Rabbi Yoshai to the following halacha. Tongue twister. Limaditicha Torah. The Torah has taught you a following. Incidentally, we learn over here farming. The Torah has said, if you come to a field, you go out to a new field and you find choyach. Right, you go into the middle of nowhere, go out to the desert, some new piece of land, you want to go cultivate the land, you find choyach, you find thorns, wheat thorns. This is an indication that this field is good for wheat. Don't try to plant barley. You're not going to succeed. Or if you will succeed, it's not going to produce a quality barley. Go for wheat. The fact that it's producing a certain type of thorn is an indication that this is a good land to produce wheat. Derech Harich, Sade Shemale Choychim, Yofe Lezoira Chitim is good to produce wheat. Shemale Bu'ushim, if you go to a field and you discover it's producing this thing called Bu'ushim, some type of fowl, some type of whatever, it's a weed. It's some type of a weed which is similar to barley. That is an indication that you would succeed, you would do very well in farming on this land, barley, Yofe Lezoira Sarim. Chaynu B'yalkit, so over here it's telling you, it's giving you. Teaching you derech eretz, it's teaching you, giving you good advice. In the middle of a klala, you can learn something good as well. What's the reason? So matam, I guess, means is because the reason matam. What's the source for this? Tachaschita yotzi choach, because these two are related one to the other. If it can produce one, it can produce the other. So if it's producing choach, then the meila yetzaraya that it can produce wheat. Something along those lines. Tamu. Okay, now comes Rashi. How he explains these last words? Adkan hu choiz adkan morsakash this akasha. Really? Are these the end of the words of Eov? Adkan hu choizer umisnad. Now, I don't know the exact translation, but the basic gist of what Rashi seems saying is, why would Eev say Ad Kan? Eev obviously had a lot more to say. Tamu Divrei Eev, I have no more to say. What do you mean you have no more to say? When a person shows his brilliance, I think this is what Rashi means to say. Person gets up, makes a drasha. Right, you're a rabbi, and you get up, you make a drasha, and you give a brilliant drasha. So when the drasha is over, you give a drasha, a Shabbos, a little drasha for an hour, and you wow your audience. Right, the audience, unbelievable. They heard gems of wisdom. So they say, okay, rabbi, you're hired. That was a great prabba. We want you to be our full-time rabbi. Every Shabbos, we want to hear a drasha. So the guy, so the rabbi says, I have nothing more to say. I gave you everything I told you in 1 hour. I gave you everything that I know. So that's a lie. If you have the ability to wow us in 1 hour like that, obviously you have more to say. You may not have more to say right now on the spot, but you have shown that you have talent. If you had the koyach to put together such a sermon and inspire us, even though right now you may be empty, but the talent is there, and it will give you a couple of days, you'll replenish your brain, and you'll have more what to say. If Eve was able to talk for 31 parakim and bring out these brilliant ideas, obviously, Eve has more to say. There's more we can glean, we can extract from his brilliant mind. So how could he say here, I have nothing more to say? That's not true. Okay, that's the basic gist of what Rashi is coming to say. This Rashi presenting. Tamu is that really? Adkan, until now, until Perek Lamed Beis, we've listened, we've absorbed the words of wisdom of Eiv Adkan, who Chayzer Misnabe, he has been continuously giving forth words of prophecy. The words of Eiv, we have a tradition of the words of prophecy, Kama Nevuos. If a person is a prophet, there's infinite what a prophet can say. There's no limit. Once you've shown that you have that talent, you have that connection, you have the ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bring forth words of prophecy, how can you now say, I'm finished, I'm done? V'at oimer tamu divrei Iyov? Really? Is that correct? Ela. So what then? That cannot be the words. We cannot translate the words, I rest my case. In other words, Rashi over here is coming to strongly disagree with what the Mitzudo said. It's not shaykh to say, I have nothing more to say. So what then does he mean? This is the deeper interpretation. In Loa CC Cain, if everything I said is a lie, my thesis has been all along, I am a tzaddik. I'm a tzaddik, I have not done anything wrong. If it's not true, if I have made a mistake that I'm not a tzaddik, that I indeed did do averos, then you're right. Then I'll keep my mouth shut. Then I have nothing to complain about. I retract everything I've said until now. Im lo yosisi kein, if I have not done all of these good deeds, yitamu divrei Iyov, then I curse myself. My mouth should be shut. Va'al yihi pischein peh loyma lefonecha, I do not have a pischein peh to say before you, bi'arti ha-kodesh men ha-bayis. Now, it seems like he's going back and forth. Rashi is going back and forth between what he said above and the entire 31 parakim. In the previous few psukim, starting with pasuk lamed ches and lamed tes, Rashi quoted a medrash. The earth should cry out. What should it cry out? Should declare if I mafresh leket shikropeya. The earth should let it be known if I was mafresh chuma and meiser. Then when he mentions kesef, he's referring to meiser sheni. What do you do in the fourth year of Shemitah, in the fourth year of the Shemitah cycle, after you give away leket shikropeya, chuma, meiser, meiser rishon, meiser sheni, meiser ani? You recite vidui meisers. Bi'arti hakodesh min habayis. You go to the Beis HaMikdash, or in Lavdavka, even in your own field, and you recite in Parshas Kisavo, there are a few psukim, I have cleaned out all of the Kodesh Min Abayis, I have given to the Kohen and the Levi, to the Ani, I have not denied their entitlements, and therefore I demand of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a bracha, Hashkifa Mim'oin Kotshecha Min HaShamayim, Uvarech Etzamcha Yisrael, I demand from you a bracha. That's called Vidui Maestros, it is recited the fourth year and after, and Shemitah, the fourth year and the seventh year of the Shemitah cycle. That's the lacha. So he's saying over here that so right over here he's saying Tamu Divrei Iyov. Iyov is saying, I now want to recite Vidui Meister, but he doesn't just mean Vidui Meister. He means I demand of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashkifa Mimon Katshuch, and all that it entails. I demand from you that you bring down upon me blessing, and not klala. You have brought upon me klala. I suffer. I lost my children. I lost my wealth. I lost my health. I suffer. I demand of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you bring upon me not klala but bracha, because I've done everything right. And as a marshal for describing how he has done everything right, he gives the example of agriculture. Leket shikhapeya chuma meiser, and meiser rishon, meiser sheni, and so on and so forth. Rashi is intertwining these ideas. And if I have a right to demand biarti, to make the statement, and to demand hashkifa, if I have not done my part, meaning I have done averos, or in the mushal that he's giving to summarize his entire complaint, I have not given leket shechapeya truma meiser, so on and so forth, then I have no right, tamu divreiyov, I have no right to recite the vidui meiser, which concludes with a demand of bracha hashkifa mimoincha hashkifa mimoin kachcha min hashemayim uvorech hasamcha es sholeis v'adama asher nasat alanu. You're right, kalu, I will not recite vidui meiser. So Rashi intertwining these two ideas. Obviously, he's using leket shechapeya and meiser as a moshel for his complaint against HaKadosh Baruch. Baruch Hu. So one more time, the words of Rashi. At kan choyzu mistam bekamen levuos viatu viatu em etamu divriyov ella kachoy meiyov. Im loyosi sikain. If I have not done everything that I have declared in the last 31 prokim and which I have summarized with the mashal that I have given now with regard to the field, yitamu divriyov. What does that mean? The alihi pischin peleim alufanecha biarti akodesh. I will not have the ability to make the say the vidi meiser, which is a mashal for my innocence and my demand of bracha. Kach v'isi b'psikas parshas b'psikta n'psikta parshas aser ta aser. That's where the vidui appears. Beforish kain min apsukim elu, which they extract from this these psukim. Okay, so this concludes the words of Eiv. Again, according to Rav Shwabi, I think he cites that besides Rashi and the Mitsudos, which are provided there two interpretations, he cites another Mefarish that the one that is reciting this is Moshe. Moshe is saying we're finished. Eiv is finished, and now from here to the end of the Sefer, we're going to have the response of Elihu. Elihu is going to speak up and respond, and at the very end, Eiv is going to say a few closing words, and Hashem is going also to present a few closing thoughts on this matter. But Eiv, Tamuk, how did this is Eiv, safe Eiv to a certain degree, comes to an end over here.
Similar to Mao, Mao just simply says this is the end of the discussion between Eiv
and his three friends. Right, and now we have something new. But again, Rashi and the Mitzudas, they add a lot more flavor. Rashi, Mitzudas says, to review, I end my case. I rest my case. I have made, no one here has provided an adequate response. I'm a tzaddik. I don't deserve this. And there's nothing more to me to say. And according to Rashi, Tamu means I challenge you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I'm right, I have a demand, Hashkifa. If I'm wrong, then Tamu, then you're right, I will silence myself, I have no right to speak up.
Yeah, now, the Lamed Bey is, I mean, that's exactly right. The only defense they had was, since you were punished, you must have done something wrong. But they've never said one thing that he might have done.
Well, they did. They actually did present. They presented a long list of sins. We did learn. But he says you're wrong. Those are lies. They're blatant lies. You're telling me that I've done this. It's not true. And not only have I not done all of these things which you accuse me, I have not even done other things that you would not even know about. Secrets which you could not possibly know about, I also have not done. So this is a very important, critical point at the same. Now we begin the next parak. Parak Lamed Beis Vayish. The three friends of Eiv, they were silent. They ceased from responding, because they saw they could not get anywhere. They saw there the thrust. This pasuk is a very important pasuk. This pasuk reveals the thrust of what they were trying to accomplish in the last 31 prokim. They were trying to convince Eiv that you're a sinner. That you are a Rasha. You have to go through a psychoanalysis, discover deep down inside there are evil thoughts, there are evil plans. You are a sinner. After they came to the realization that Eiv is thick. He will not accept that he has committed a crime. He is a tzaddik ve'enav. Their argument falls away. Let's look at the Mesudas Pasuk Aleph. Eiv's own eyes. Eiv considers himself to be a tzaddik yisod olam. He has not done an avera, therefore he does not deserve to suffer. The entire Sefer Eiv is built with this premise, which is a false premise. Eiv believes there has to be justice in this world in one's own lifetime.
So you're saying you made no katzoy?
Exactly. Eiv believes.
With some exceptions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. There has to be an exception. Or even if Eiv did do an avera, I did tshuva for my sins. There are indications to that idea as well. If it's true that I did an avera, he does say I did an avera. I did tshuva. So the tshuva has covered me. Has cleaned out the avera. So the bottom line is my balance sheet is equal. My balance sheet. I've been. It's been zero. It's clean. I'm clean, and therefore Eiv is living with this false, this mistaken belief that if a person in his own lifetime is a tzaddik, he does not deserve to suffer. That's his belief, and therefore, based with that premise, I don't deserve. Who then is guilty? Who then is corrupt? Chas v'shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he's been saying all along. And his friends are telling him, Eve, no, that's not true. Hashem is tzaddik v'yashar, Hashem is correct. It must be the chasaron lies in you. You have done an avera. No, they see this. They're talking to a brick wall because kihu tzaddik be'enav. Eve considers himself righteous in his own eyes. Okay, let's look at the mitzvah's pasuk alpha. Yish v'su shloishes harayim. Hanis kadim pasku milahoshif. Eve, the Eve's three friends. Who are the three friends? Eliphaz, Bildad, and Tzofar. Those are the three friends. Those three friends have now silent pasukim l'hashiv liyav ki hu chazik asatzmo l'tzadik. He considers himself a tzadik umiyat, therefore loy matzu ma'aneh bedvar hayisud masher bo'olav, and they have not found an explanation as to why he suffers, because in Eve's false belief, a person who is a tzadik does not deserve to suffer in his own lifetime. Now, Rashi, Pasuk Aleph, Mane Elihu, we now begin the response of Elihu. Pasuk base. Vayichar af Elihu ben Berachel Habuzi, Mimishpachas Rom, Bi'iov, Chorapo, Al Tzadkoi Nafshoi Me Elokim. Okay, there's a lot going on in this one Pasuk. First, we have the name of the person. Let's work backwards. Let's pick and choose a few words here. The name, the subject of the person is Elihu. Who is he? He is the son of Ben Barachel Habuzi. We don't know who this family is. All we know is that was his name. He comes from Mishpachas Ram. We don't know much about that either. He was angry. His anger was kindled against Be'ioif. The words of the pasuk are a little bit unusual. I think that's what it comes. Vayichar af Elihu ben Rachel Habuzi mimishpachas Shram. Period. Be'iov chora apo, or be'iov. I'm not sure how to read it. Where do you put the comma? The trop is not a raya, because the trop is very the trop in Sefer Iov is a different type of trop.
The comma probably is after be'iov.
Mimishpachas Shram be'iov comma chora apo. His anger kindled. Al tzadko nafsho me elokim, because he declared his neshama righteous me elokim. Rashi says more than Hashem. Let's use that translation for the moment. The reason why Elihu's anger was kindled was because Eve considered himself more righteous than God. That was the source of his anger. Now we all know very good and well that anger is not a good thing. Okay, anger control, anger management is a big thing in today's day and age. People pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to therapists for anger management. I don't pay money. I go to a certain website. A website which, it's amazing how the person who writes the posts has this amazing ability to anger me. So I read a post, chorapo, and I turn red and steam, and then I say, okay, now therapy, calm down, relax, take a deep breath, try to use it as a therapeutic experience to learn how to control.
Testing your psyche.
To control my anger. I always know if I ever want to test my anger man, just have to read a little bit here and I'm, whew. And then you see how you're doing. You can rate yourself on 1 to 10 if you know how to deal with anger. But anger is not a good thing. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. When Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, what happened? He forgot halach, he forgot Torah. So this is an indication that this person, Elihu, has problems. Now, what's difficult with this interpretation to say that anger is problematic is because we most of the commentators seem to say that Elihu is on the mark. That Elihu has the final word in Sefer Iyov. His words are very complex and very deep, and they really answer the question. Elihu, according to many commentators, will provide the answer to Eve's dilemma. Why does a tzaddik suffer in this world, tzaddik virala? Now, I want to warn you, although the commentator Se'ilu was correct and was on the mark, we don't necessarily understand what Elihu says. So it doesn't necessarily answer the question. The age-old question, tzaddik virala, well, the answer is presented here, but it's so cryptic and it's so embedded, there's so much prophecy that's embedded within the words, we're not going to be able to achieve an answer that is satisfactory then it's fully that is satisfactory. But yet, that the problem with that is if Eliyahu was zocha to be the one that's going to solve the problem, the age-old problem, tzaddik v'ralo, how could it be with a hakdama? Vayicharaf. Vayicharaf is not something which is positive in the eyes of Chazal. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a problem.
It's righteous indignation.
Okay, so there you have to deal with it.
The difference between when they talk about
Moshe Rabbeinu, they usually
use the word
"vayiktzov." It's also no good. Okay, but any expression of anger is no good. Look, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chora af Hashem bochem v'yatzar es ha-shamayim. So we find the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is getting angry. Okay, so it has to be understood. It has to be, but it's an interesting thing to take note of, this idea that the entire speech of Elihu is given over to us in a state of charoin af. The way you relate to a person in a state of charoin af is not the way you relate to a person when you calm down. Some people, you know, everyone knows some of the same people. And when I'll describe to a person, someone else will be listening and say, what? Are we discussing the same person? Do we know the same person? That's not the person I know. Like I once heard a politician, he had an arch enemy. And someone else who had no clue that this other person was the arch enemy started praising this person. So he said to him, do you know the person I'm talking about? He says, I'm afraid to tell you that the person that you know is not the one that I know. It's the same physical person, but your experience with him is very different than my experience. So it's true, but the one that you are describing is not the one that I'm describing. What Elihu is saying here is said in a state of charoinat. Now, the reason why I'm trying to bring that out is a hakdama to a medrash, a Yushalmi Masechta Sod. That is an amazing Yushalmi. Rav Schwab develops this in very great detail. He dwells on it. Okay, for some reason this Yushalmi is not presented here in my Sefer Itzah Midrashim. And the question is, who exactly is Elihu? There are two opinions: Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Akiva says, it's very good for Yoni Diyoma, this week's Parshas Balak, and one of the main people, Ishei HaTanach, in Parshas Balak is Bilam. Bilam is the one that was hired by Balak to curse Klal Yisrael. According to Rabbi Akiva, Bilam is none other than Elihu of Sefer Iyaf. How do we know that? Let me tell you what it says, the words. I jotted down a couple of words. Dorash Rabbi Akiva, Elihu Zebilam, Yushalmi Masechta Sota. You know the daf? I didn't write down the daf. It's somewhere in Sota. How do we know this? It says Elihu Perikei. Okay. Ben Berachel. Why is he called Ben Berachel? So Rabbi Akiva says, Ben Berachel, Ben Berachel, Be Shabol Kalel Es Yisrael, Uberacham Kel. Berachel is Berachel. Hashem blessed them. Hashem blessed them to prevent him from cursing. He came to curse Klal Yisrael, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in response to his attempt to curse, result in HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessing us. Habuzi, why is he... What? Ben here means an individual. So Ben over here, sometimes Ben in the Medrash does not mean Ben, means the person. The person, even though Ben literally means the son of, but here it's in the way Rabbi Akiva interprets it, Ben means the person who attempted to curse Klal Yisrael, and in response, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced him to bless Klal Yisrael, Berachel. Ben means the individual. What?
It's not giving you
genealogy. No. I mean, we had this in Divrei Hayyam. We learned Divrei Hayyam. We had this many, many times. Ben means, this is the person. The person who is Barachel. Habuzi. Why is he called a B'shohaisen Nivuaso Bezuya? His prophecy was despised. His prophecy, he was always looking for trouble. He was looking for trouble. He was looking to the end of the days, looking to find sins in Klal Yisrael. So we refer to, we want to say that his prophecy was bezuya because it was undeserved. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu received prophecy in a state of spirituality, in a state of Ruach HaKodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give the nations of the world a fair chance at prophecy. So even though he was a contaminated person, it was a mushchus, a low life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gave him prophecy, but it was despised because of his state.
Like the
lowlifes.
Lowlifes and the chanami, right, right. That's what Rabbi Akiva is saying.
Maybe that's why he got angry, because...
He was.
You just said,
you're all lowlifes. It could be. Why is he called Mishpachas Ram? The Rabbi Kiva says, what did he say? Min Aram Yancheni Balak. He was from Aram. Aram is a very large area. Aram, there are many Arams. Aram is half of the world, half of the civilized world in ancient times was Aram. Aram Tsova, Aram Naharayim, there's this Aram, that Aram, but he came when Bilam described this prophecy, he began, Min Aram Yancheni Balak. From Aram, Balak, he guided me, he led me, he drew me near to come to this location and curse Klal Yisrael. So that's why he's called Ram, Mishpachas Ram. Rabbi Kiva says it's a reference to this pasuk. So we have a very here clear indication who is this person. This person, Elihu, is none other than Bilam. Now, according to this interpretation, it obviously takes Eof to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. That takes him to the time of the Midbar. That takes him way after the time of the Avos. We started this Sol Sugya. We learned when did Eof live. According to many opinions, he lived during the time of Avraham. That was exactly what the Satan said. The Satan was comparing Avraham to Eof. But according to this interpretation, that Elihu is responding to Eof, if we want to put everything in the same time period, then that takes us to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, when they are in the desert at the end of the 40 years. They're just about ready to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's what Rabbi Akiva says. Along comes Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah. It's an amazing Gemara, because this Gemara opens up other Inyanim, and he says, Akiva, how dare you? If you are right that Elihu is Bilam, then that does not shed good light on Elihu. Because Elihu here appears to be a tzaddik. When everything is said, that we don't learn his words yet, but most of the commentators are very favorable of Elihu. They praise him. They give Elihu high praise. He's on the mark. Bilam is the worst of the worst. Someone that tries to curse Klal Yisrael, that's it. He's off the charts. He's the worst of the worst. So, what are you doing? What you're doing, Rabbi Kiva, is he telling us that Elihu went off the derech. Okay, kirat haderech lenegdi. He went off the derech. He starts out being a good guy, Elihu. Maybe in Achnam he lived early. Maybe indeed he lived. It's not a contradiction. He lived a very long life. He lived 210 years. He lived during the time of Yaakov Avinu, and now he's living here during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is not such a big deal according to these midrashim. He lived a very long number of years, but he started as a tzaddik, and over time he soured. What gives you the right to say that? If you're right, Hashem hid it. Nowhere do we find an explicit pasuk telling us that Elihu is Bilam. So you're speaking Lashon Hara. This opens up an interesting sugya of speaking Lashon Hara about the Ishei HaTanach. If you are right that Elihu is Bilam, the Torah had pity upon Elihu, did not want to reveal that he turned sour, b'soif yomav, and cursed Klal Yisrael. So what right do you have to reveal this secret and he might say las on a person who was a tzaddik? Maybe in Olam Haba he did tshuva, whatever this means, we don't know what this means, and he got back his reward, and it's not fair. And if you're wrong, and if you, Rabbi Akiva, you're making a big mistake, you're wrong, then you're being moitzi las on a tzaddik. Elihu is a very great tzaddik, and you're giving him a very bad reputation. You're saying terrible things about him. Yeah.
We just recently have in the daf another instance in which Rabbi Akiva came up with a drasha and
yeah, it sounds familiar.
And he said, stick to what you're good at. You know, stay
right,
away.
Right,
from,
right, right. Don't stay away from it. I'm waiting on time. I'll take you in a second.
You told that maybe he did teshuvah in Olam Haba. It is possible to do teshuvah.
I don't know what goes on there. You have to work and don't focus on being good in this world. I don't know. I don't know what goes on there. I don't know. Weiter. Let's go now. So what does Rabbi Elazar Azari do? So he says even more shocking. Who is Elihu? Yitzchak Avinu.
Oh,
the child, Yushalmi, Rabbi Loza ben Azaria. And the Haggadah, Harani Kiven Shiv Shon, ben Zoma. Rabbi Loza ben Azaria says that Elihu is Yitzchok Avinu. How do we know this? Same exact pasukim. It says he was Ben Barach Kel, Barach El. Barach means Berach Kel. Hashem. Yitzchok was blessed. Vayivarcheu Hashem. It says concerning Yitzchok that he was blessed by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vayivarcheu. That was the that's the pasuk. Vayivarcheu Hashem blessed Yitzchok. That's how he interprets that pasuk. Habuzi. Why is he called Habuzi? Shebiza es atzma b'sho shenekat. He disgraced himself. He basically gave up his life at the moment of the Akedah. When Yitzhak put him on the Akedah, was willing to slaughter him. That is the ultimate expression of being mevaze yourself. Before you are Kadosh Baruch Hu, shebiza.
What follows that?
Es atzmo b'sho shenekat.
That's not the version here.
Okay, that's what I have here.
Ayin, Aleph, not Aleph, Ayin.
But neither Rashi nor Mitzvah stuff is saying anything.
They don't say anything. They're silent on this matter.
They know this Gemara?
Of course they know the Gemara. They're very selective. Rashi, B'chlal, Rashi is very cryptic. And a lot of things that Rashi, even if you have a good translation, when you think about it, what does Rashi really mean to say? And I'm not announcing this. A lot of before I say that Rashi and Sefer Iyov really requires heavy duty interpretation. What Rashi means to say on the Pesukim is not simple. What?
I read it differently here.
Okay, what do you read here? Read it. Okay. The Alk is not the same as the Gemara. You have to see the Gemara word for here.
Shabozo, and it says Ayin Alk.
Shabozo.
Ayin.
Okay.
That's how I would read it. That he caused Avodah Zarah to be
despised. When he, how is that so? By offering himself to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Okay, that's a different interpretation. Fine, in Echnaim. But we take the word Shabbaza as a reference to Yitzchak at the time of the Akedah to some degree.
How could that be? Phil just pointed out to me. He lived in Eretz Utz, which was outside Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
Yitzchak never left Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
So maybe the debate took place in Eretz Canaan. Maybe the debate will.
Said that they came to his home,
so maybe he had a. Okay, it's a question. I don't know the answer. It doesn't bother me, the question. These midrashim are so.
You give a lot of latitude, Rabbi.
You have to. That's how it works. I don't have a good answer. But this is what it says. This is a Yerushalmi. This is not an esoteric midrash we never heard of. This is a Yerushalmi. Talmud Yerushalmi. It's pretty standard. It's good source. It's a good source. A good stock. Next.
We know that Yerushalmi has a multitude of also.
All right. Fine. Okay. Whatever. Mimishpachas Rom. Now this is very easy. Mimishpachas Rom. What does that mean? Mimishpachas Rom. That's Avraham. Av Rom. Right. Originally, you're the Av of. Avram of Aram, but now I'm going to make Avraham with a Av Hamon Goyim. But the word Ram is the Shoresh of Ram, Avram, and he's saying over here that he comes from the family of Avram, the child of Avram. So this is what Rabbi Elazar ben Azari. So we have here a fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, if Elihu was Bilam or Elihu was Yitzchak. Besides the fact that it puts them in two different, very different time periods in history, we're dealing over here with more than 210 years, maybe even more, even almost 300 years, a difference in time of when they lived. Besides that, Shravi makes a very powerful point. He says the machlokes between these two opinions will cause us to shift our focus on answering the age-old question of Tzaddik V'Ra'lo. The question of Tzaddik V'Ra'lo is not only a Jewish question. It's a question that the non-Jews deal with. It's a universal question. It's a very difficult question. The way we Am Yisrael deal with it is very different than the way the Umos, the way the Umos Olam deal with it. It's a very, even when they're talking about religious, we're talking about the Umos Olam who are believers in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The one that taught the world that there is a creator is Avraham. Avraham was not only the Klal Yisrael. Avraham was Av Hamon Goyim. He brought to the world monotheism. He taught the world there is a creator, there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. And there are Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, which all are built on with the assumption that there is a creator. Avraham had influence on Nefesh Asher Osu B'chorah, not just on Klal Yisrael, but on the entire world. Rav Schwab says a very powerful point. If you learn like Rabbi Akiva, that Elihu is Bilam, and Bilam is the Navi, the prophet for the Umos HaOlam, not for Klal Yisrael, that forces us to understand that the answer that we are going to learn in the next 10 Parakim to understand, Tzadik Viralo, is an answer for the Goyim. For the non-Jews, the non-Jewish world who believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it does not fully answer the question for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael were on a higher level. It's deeper. There's more to it. On the other hand, if you want to learn that Elihu is Yitzchak, is the son of Avram, Ki bi Yitzchak yikare l'cha zara, the answer that Elihu is presenting is an answer for Klal Yisrael. And it's not necessarily the answer for the Umos HaOlam. It's very different. The answer of Tzadik V'Raloi for Klal Yisrael is not the answer you give the Umos HaOlam. We have in the Gemara many times where different Goyim, the Umos HaOlam, they ask questions to the Tanaim and the Amoraim, very difficult questions, and they challenges, and the Tanoim and the Amoraim gave answers to the Goyim, and then the Talmidim said, what? What did you say to this king? What did you say to this emperor, the Caesar? So he says, it's an answer for them. For us, it's different. Now, it wasn't a joke. He wasn't making litzanis. He was giving the Goyim a true answer, how they can relate on their level. They're not on a spiritual level where they could understand things from our perspective. And we are on a different, have different standards, different expectations to relate to ideas and concepts of spirituality different than the Umos HaOlam. It's very, very different. So that just makes the Sefer much more complex. This incredible Yerushalmi, which presents a fund that we're coming now to the final answer. Like I said before, it's not going to be an answer for us because we're not going to be able to decode and decrypt the hidden messages, the secrets that lie in the next 10 Prakim of Eli. We're not going to figure out what it says. But we're just going to try to glean little bits, little teeny bits of information to get an idea to answer the question. But we have a bigger question. Is this an answer for us? Or is this an answer for the Umos HaOlam? And what's an answer for us is not necessarily for the Umos HaOlam. And what's for the Umos HaOlam is not for us. That difference, those two roads start right here with the Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah.
So what makes sense to invoke 10 Parakim to the Goyish world?
Yeah. We have.
So
why are we learning?
Because there's what to learn. There is what to learn. Okay, there's a lot more to be said about this, but we're way, way over time, and we'll have to continue with this tomorrow. Okay, we'll do it again tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow.